These headline stories will come to you in a moment, along with this week's topic about are you supporting the Eclipse operations, the ARRL field day themes and rules release. We will visit the ARRL Hamfest schedule and talk about QRZ and much, much more. That's all straight ahead, so stay tuned. Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Guy Podcast. I'm Marvin and my call sign is W0MET. Whether you're an experienced ham or just getting started, this podcast is for you. We're bringing you the latest of topics, news, and information on all things amateur radio each episode right here to this show. This is episode number 32. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Well, I'd like to talk to you first about a company I've been working with now for a while, Dakota Lithium, your ultimate outdoor power solution. You tired of unreliable batteries that just can't keep up with your outdoor adventures? Look no further than Dakota Lithium, the go-to choice for outdoor enthusiasts everywhere. They have a power-packed performance with their lithium iron phosphate batteries, boasting high energy density and a long cycle life, ensuring you have the power you need whenever you need it. Whether you're camping, fishing, hunting, doing power off-grid, or just ham radio, portable operations, Dakota Lithium has you covered. Built tough for the great outdoors, our batteries designed to withstand the toughest conditions from extreme temperatures to rough terrain, rugged, lightweight, and compact, they're perfect for companion for any adventure. With the versatile solutions for a range of sizes and capacity, they offer options for every need, empowering small devices to large enough energy storage systems. Don't settle for less when it comes to outdoor power. Choose Dakota Lithium and experience the difference firsthand. Join the ranks of satisfied outdoor enthusiasts and ham radio amateur operators who trust Dakota Lithium for unmatched performance, durability, and reliability. Upgrade your power game today. They make a great little power lithium power box 10 or even their 12 volt 20 amp hour battery with a digital readout on top displaying their power available left for consumption. It's a great little battery to have, and you can find a 10% discount savings on my show notes over at my Patreon page, which I will talk about a little bit more a little bit later. Well, we'll get into a couple things here. One of the things I want to touch on again is a product I've been using for a while, and I talked about this in the last show. You can find it on Amazon. It's called the Olight Baton 4 Rechargeable Everyday Carry Flashlight. Again, I've used this in several of my ham radio applications. These are great little lights. They're easily rechargeable. They're very bright, and they pocket clip. For those moments you need a flashlight quickly, it has a pocket clip for even quicker access. So definitely get out there and look at getting those one of those baton lights, the old lights, I'm sorry, the baton four. They are great little lights to have and carry and have handy. Well, we have several things I'm going to talk about this week on several different notes and features. First is talking about Ham Radio Deluxe. They're coming out with their 6.9 update. So they have an exciting new features coming ahead. With version 6.9 introducing a host of enhancements and fixes, including the replacement of Microsoft Access with SQLite, enhanced logbook features for easier navigation, improved usage of work status indicators, resolved as many defects as possible. I'm curious what you use for logging software and what platform of OS do you use to log on? Do you have a mobile one that you use that's different than the Ham Shack maybe? So if you're using hammers on your iPad or a little junkopotamus Evolve laptop. If you're using a Linux platform, if you use something like RumLog or CQ Logger, Max DX Logger, N3FJP for Windows, N1MM. I mean, a host of number of softwares out there that you use. But I do find that Ham Radio Deluxe is great for the Ham Shack, and it has a whole host of features on there. I really do like using that from a Windows platform. They are slow to come out with. In their 7.0 system, they'll be coming out with a Mac version, but that'll probably be maybe yet another year or so before they get to that. I mean, they're going all the way through version updates of like getting a version 6.10 will be rig control rewrite. 6.11 is the DM780 rewrite for ongoing updates to logbook and rig control. 6.12 will be rotor control rewrite. And then 6.13 is satellite tracking. And then finally, they'll look at getting to version 7, where they'll have more Windows, Mac, Linux, contest edition, global view, do 32 or 64 bit multi-language support. So a whole host of more things coming out for them over the next, probably year or two. But obviously some of us are waiting for that Mac, have to be very patient with that as they continue to rewrite the logbook first here as a series of steps to getting to those other locations. So they're in the final stages of that rewrite for 6.9. And, it's taken a long time for them to get there, but they've been diligently rewriting it. They've got an entire team dedicated to this, but looking to bring it a much more smoother and efficient experience to the Ham Radio Deluxe software, which I'm hoping it is going to be well worth the wait when we get to that point. So there's some things coming out with Ham Radio Deluxe that you can go out and visit their link on their YouTube channel, talking about the development update and see the demo of it. And so if you're interested in that, I will leave a link to that in the show notes over on my Patreon page as well. You can find more information there from Mike with Ham Radio Deluxe, WA9PIE. Well, that's a little bit about Ham Radio Deluxe. Well, one of the next questions I've got is QRZ contacts. Now, I have been posting a lot of my POD logs and stuff up into QRZ for quite a while. And I do have my Ham Radio Deluxe also going up to, from the Ham Shack here, going up to the QRZ for the logbook. And a lot of people go even a step further and take it to the logbook of the world. And I've not really gone that far yet, considering it. But I want to get back to QRZ first here. Is, do you confirm your QSOs? Either like a QSO card, do you do on QRZ? Do you go into Logbook of the World? Do you do that? And for those that you want to be able to do like worked all states or worked countries, it's really best that in interest of both parties, you'd be fair to them that you're making a contact with, that you also upload your contacts. And, maybe you just have your contacts sitting there in a logging program and you haven't decided to upload to QRZ yet or something. It's really simple to do. It takes hardly no time at all to log into it. And QRZ has a decent little logging program that, you can log contacts. In fact, I did one or two earlier today. I'm sitting here at work listening to radio in the background, heard a park calling on the air, got on there and, made a contact and just logged in QRZ real quick, even right into my work computer, just logged into QRZ and did it. So, pretty easy to do there, but I'd like to know more and have some comments on whether or not you use QRZ. And if you don't upload your contacts, why don't you, to confirm some of those or maybe get some of those other awards that QRZ offers? And, maybe you're the one that just does handwritten logs and so you don't have that. If that's the case, then maybe why don't you have a logging program of some sort? And have you decided to, any of those list of ones I listed in the very beginning talking about logging software? Why have you chosen one? I've been using Hammers, but I'm probably going to be backing off that a little bit as some things for Parks and Air are changing. N3FJP did come out with a POTA log now, is my understanding. I've not went and looked at that myself yet to see how that is. I usually just use their amateur contact log. I've kind of reformatted to make it fit myself for POTA operations. But again, it's on a Windows. That means I have to use a Windows platform for that. And I prefer to really use my iPad of some sort when I am using a portable operation, because it's light, it's easy to carry, and I just typically have it with me. So I'm trying to find a logging software that's a little bit better. RumLog is something I'm checking into. Haven't really played with that much. Hoping to have some more time with it maybe this weekend, as I am going to go do a Parks on the Air activation on Saturday up in Vermont. Fort Dummer, D-U-M-M-E-R State Park, which is about maybe an hour north of me here or so. And I'm looking forward to getting out and doing a POTA operation with the vehicle and seeing how that all works out. I did one in New York about 2 weeks ago. That was a lot of fun. It was a complete DX POTA activation. It was all DX stations that activated. I mean, it was a worldwide single sideband weekend. And every one of my contacts, except for two of them, were all DX stations. So I activated a POTA park using DX only, which is pretty cool. I was very excited about that. And the other thing I brought in this week was I made my first AM contact over on AM side of things instead of just single sideband. Heard a guy calling on single sideband, moved over to AM where he was, and I heard him, and I was able to make my contact there. with him and logged that. And of course we did QRZ as well. And that's where he logged it as well. So that was kind of fun, something very different. But again, coming back to your logbook, you know, I've got a number of logs out there in my QRZ book that like they're showing contacts, but they're not confirmed contacts with, you know, different states. And I'm trying to work all states and I'm missing a couple of them. I haven't got like Hawaii, which is really tough. And I think the other one was like a Montana or Wyoming, maybe Alaska, something like that, a little bit more harder to get. But I saw another subset of them that was showing there's 22, you know, I've made contacts with them, but they're not confirmed contacts. So I still have, you know, like 22 states or something that's pending out there. And I was like, it's kind of really frustrating on my part to have that happen when I know I've made good contact with them. And I just wish people would upload more to QRZ for that confirmation and whatnot. So not that QSL cards aren't bad or good. I mean, I do some myself. I need to create some new ones because I've moved to Western Mass here. And I have not done anything with that. My old QSR had the state of Tennessee on it. So I'll probably change my format up a little bit. I won't do a state of Western Mass again, something a little bit more universal. I can, wherever I move to, because it seems to be the kind of the thing that I do with the wife's job. So, but nonetheless, I would encourage you to go out and upload your contacts to QRZ if you haven't already, not for my sake only, but for many others that you might have a contact with that would be looking for that information or that confirmed contact across the board. Now, I've got about 80 of them in there that I just don't even know the contacts to that I can't confirm myself necessarily because maybe it could be off on time. It might have been logged as a difference in UTC time or something, and it just is not matching up for some reason. So I'm trying to still pair up some of those, but some of the logs go back to, you know, way back in the day, you know, 4 or 5 years. So some of those I don't necessarily have a log for, or I just don't know what happened to it. It could have been something I'd had on paper log at one point. I'm not really sure, but you know, I would like to be able to share those up and get that number down a little bit as well. But again, just take a time to go out there, upload your logs to QRZ if you can, and confirm those with others. I'm sure they would greatly appreciate that. So there's my 2 cents on that, and talking about QRZ contacts for this week. Now, I want to move into another sponsor promo. This will be for ABR Industries, looking for top-notch cable assemblies and bulk cable solutions tailored to fit your precise needs. Look no further than ABR, your trusted full-service provider delivering unparalleled quality and reliability. Chuck, Shannon, Scott, all of them down there at ABR Industries, you know, craft some of the finest products to meticulous specifications, guaranteeing tight tolerances and the highest caliber of quality. They come up with new technology. Now they've got like removable PL259s or BNCs. You can swap and fit as you see fit and what you need. They have a diverse market coverage serving RF, microwave, government, military, municipal, consumer sectors, and amateur radio, and cater to a wide variety of industries with expertise in fitness, and with expertise in every strand, with proficiency in design, manufacturing, time management, and value engineering, and as much as they can manufacture. It's all manufactured in the U.S., but sometimes they do have to source some of their other parts, and they do try and make sure that's all U.S. as well. They are equipped to exceed your expectations at every turn, and they've, you know, want to create a long-term partnership with you and strive to become, you know, your trusted ally for life. I purchased all my cable through them, and I found it to be the best that I have used for all my portable and home operations both. So if you haven't used them, you know, I would suggest that you, you know, look at going to ABR. I can also save you 10% there. Go onto my Patreon page and you'll find information there about how to save with a coupon code on ABR industry cable. So I've got cables that are 15 foot long and cables, you know, 75 foot long cables that are 3 foot long. So they are great across the board. I use them for connecting from the tuner to the radio, to the SWR meter, all those short cables like that. They can custom make them to whatever length you want and reach out to them. If you have any questions, exactly, get a hold of Chuck. He will be able to answer all your questions and he does a great job down there for them. If you'd like to help support the channel and become a patron, look for me no more than patreon.com/thehamradioguy. And there you can find support the channel and, you know, get extra benefits and get access to early content and releases And so if you would, you know, want to reach out and support the channel, I'd greatly appreciate that. There are sometimes enduring costs that have to continue to go on with, you know, subscriptions to the podcast and Apple platforms and things like that. And even just, you know, sometimes upgrading of equipment that, you know, trying to make this a more professional podcast and increasing the content of it as well. So I appreciate any help that you can give the channel, and looking to potentially give a radio of some sort away this year to my first, once I get to 10 subscribers, I'll choose one of those 10 subscribers that pick a name out of there, draw a random number, and I will contact you directly. And looking at some type of mobile radio here, most likely as a giveaway to the first 10 subscribers. So I'll pick one of those to be a winner. And if we get more than 10, I'll try and be one of the, I think we're going to stick with the first 10, but if we get more than that, that's great. You know, maybe we'll go to the first 20 or something, but I'd be happy just to be able to start getting some of the beginning channel members there. So we'll be doing a radio giveaway of a mobile radio here, trying to figure out what that one's going to be exactly, whether I'm going to do ICOM or Yaesu. But looking forward to that here in the next few months. We'll be talking about that more as we go with further podcast. Here are the stories for release as we come to air with edition number 32. Some states are anticipating more than 1 million travelers for the event. In the impacted areas, schools will be letting out early for the day, and residents are being encouraged to avoid driving on the day of the event. The emergency response organizations are adding staff for the event in many areas. The eclipse is expected to directly impact parts of 14 states as it moves across the country. The travel impact alone could be substantial. In preparation for the event, many state emergency management organizations have called on local hams to provide communication services via HF nets and locally on VHF and UHF frequencies. There have been numerous planning meetings, exercises, and preparations across the country. The ARRL Emergency Management Department has worked with the ARRL Section Emergency Coordinators and Section Managers in the directly affected areas to collect the frequencies of each section plans to utilize and to assist in any frequency conflicts. Hams across multiple states and ARRL sections have been practicing their communication capabilities via WinLink, single sideband, and CW. A total solar eclipse that has been seen across North America will occur on Monday, April 8th. It'll be the last of its kind in the U.S. for the next 20 years. Story number two here. In the heart of Indiana, father-son duo, Chris and Tavis, I had the last name here. I don't see it right off the top of my head. Embarked on a mission powered by passion and a recent grant from the Amateur Radio Digital Communications to achieve their goal to weave a web of emergency response networks through clubs focusing on adaptability. With radios poised for VHF, UHF, and HF, they erected two key locations ready to morph into emergency operations centers at the top of a hat. Chris and 9MMR envisioned a collaborative effort between public service facilities and local clubs, igniting the Northwest Indiana Amateur Radio Partnership. This amalgamation of minds and frequencies promised not just enhanced flexibility for the hams, but a lifeline for the community. Under the stewardship of Ron Paul Braun, W9GCO, these clubs become more than just hubs for hobbyists. They emerge as vital arteries of communication, pulsing with the energy of community and service preparedness. So what a great thing that they are doing there through a grant from the Amateur Radio Digital Communications Group. So you can find more about that. Also, I've left a link in the Patreon news show notes for that. And my third and final thing for this week for news is the 2024 Amateur Radio Field Day, June 22nd to 23rd, 2024. Some rule changes and entry category changes for this year. We've got a new field day site responsibility checklist. You can check it all out for yourself as you'll be here before you know it. And if I can pull up the short notes on this, if I have it handy here, I think I still do. ARRL. Of course, I'm not finding it right off the top of my head, but they did some changes in class categories, which was kind of interesting. And I'm trying to see if I can find that as I go here. And of course, this is all recorded, but probably hear the keys tapping. Let's see. I'm trying to think what the category they were changing. It was very interesting in the rules changes under categories. I thought I had this handy. My apologies for this. this, but rules entries and going to the field day rules changes, page 2024, and enter categories. So they have a now class A club or non-club portable class, which is quite interesting. So they have chose to have like a class A battery, which is a club or non-club group of three or more persons set up specifically for field day, and all contacts must be made using an output power of 5 watts or less, and the power source must be something other than commercial power mains or motor-driven generator, battery, solar, something other than commercial or of, you know, like I said, solar or battery. So anyway, kind of interesting. But then it says, goes on to say, other provisions are the same for regular Class A. Class AB is eligible for a GOTA station if GOTA requirements are met. However, if a GOTA station is used in this class, it must meet the 5 watts or less as well. Then they go on to Class B, one or two persons portable. And it says other provisions are the same for Class A, except it's not eligible for a GOTA station or a free VHF station. And then you have a Class B battery, which is a set up and operated by no more than two persons. And again, must be using output power of 5 watts or less, and the power source must be something other than commercial mains or motor-driven generator. Again, then they've got, you know, mobile home stations, emergency power, which I found quite interesting. It's the same as Class D, but using emergency power for transmitters and receivers, Class E may work off field day stations. So you can work as emergency power for transmitters and receivers, but what about your computers or you're still on home power, you know, that sort of thing. Seems a little sketchy to me that you're going to, you know, still be home, but you're not using commercial power. You're only using emergency power of some sort. So it seems like you're kind of all or none, but I don't know. It just, that one's a little interesting. And they've got the emergency operations center. I think that's kind of been existing in the past, but those are kind of interesting. And again, they've got the new field day site responsibility checklist, which was, I found was kind of interesting too, having things that were just your normal, you know, site like first aid and maybe a fire extinguisher and things like that. So that was kind of interesting that they had some of those things listed this year now as options that you could throw in there as well. So check it out for yourself. See what you think. Let me know your comments on it. I'd love to hear more about that and go from there. Well, one thing, I'm still pretty short on my, well, let me back up. Amateur Radio News, that's got a release date of March 15th, 2024. So if you're catching this after that date, but just know that that was all the news up to that point. So moving into more of my topic for the week, I get a number of different sources that I read and go through and pull articles from sometimes. And this one kind of caught me off guard a little bit. I was kind of surprised in some ways. I'd always like to think that I'm fairly open-minded and, you know, one that is obviously promoting amateur radio. I want to get more and more people involved all the time. Want to find ways to keep people involved. You know, I'm writing on another little newsletter for something else. And, you know, one of my things, goals was to say, hey, people get their license. Then now we get now what question answered or asked. And, you know, I want to answer that question with so much more because there is so many things you can keep doing. In fact, there's a guy I kind of mentor once in a while and help out. And, you know, it's like, he goes, man, I'm taking all this in. I'm doing WinLink and now I'm trying to do digital and I've got this new radio and I'm just, you know, making contacts and in the right and left. But he's like, well, what else do I do? And it's like, well, there's this, this, and this. And it's like, man, it's like, there's just so much you can do. It's like, that's the part of fun of amateur radio that you can just, you know, there's so much to it that you almost have to find a way to focus on it and just get into it. But there's so many different ways to be inclusive in amateur radio and of what we do. And, you know, as being a club president, being involved in Winter Field Day, as the president of that and make sure that everybody has an opportunity to, you know, find ways to participate in one form or another. You know, we've got home stations, which sometimes it can be a pain to us on the Winter Field Day side of, you know, people like to complain about it. But, you know, if it really, you know, when SHTF happens, then you know, we would need home stations to be able to be there for us. We can't all be out there portable, you know, working. So, you know, we have to keep things like that inclusive and know that we try and include those people. Sometimes those elderly people out in amateur radio that, you know, are not able to get out as well, or maybe have disabled, or, you know, they just, you know, have limitations for some sort. And so, you know, we have to make sure we try and get those people who can be home stations to operate and enjoy the activity and the hobby. You know, I've always found that amateur radio is pretty inclusive of people across the board. And that's what this recent letter from another amateur radio head operator had wrote, the ARRL. And again, I came across this in a newsletter and a posting of stuff. And he was talking about inclusive and amateur radio. And I was like, in my 25 plus years as an amateur radio operator, and again, I promote it in every which way I can, I've seen a wide variety of people join in and gain interest in ham radio. Now, I will definitely agree that it's mostly primarily white males, but and that's, you know, kind of going out on a little bit of a limb there. But I also know many who are African-American males and some Hispanic people and many women who have joined to participate and become amateur radio operators, including my wife being one of them. And, you know, I really, truly believe that all are welcomed and, you know, that, you know, we're, as most clubs are willing to open up the doors and have new operators come into clubs and join. And I think as, you know, we do have an aging population. I talked about this maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 podcasts ago, that we do have an aging population in amateur radio, and we need to find new and younger amateur radio operators to be involved and to take on some of that leadership, gain the skills and knowledge of, you know, these older amateur radios have. We need people to be able to climb towers and know about what, you know, having a high Q on a mag loop is, or knowing how antennas function and work, and being able to do skilled technical jobs of radio repair or rotor repair, you know, all those different things. And I've talked about this in other episodes where we've talked about, you know, literally amateur radio can become career driven for you in some way or manner, you know, quite possibly, depending on what you want to do. People with electrical engineering degrees get into amateur radio, and, you know, I mean, practically rocket science. I mean, you've got people of all walks of life, Hollywood, you know, et cetera, that are amateur radio operators. And so, you know, I think we've always been very inclusive in amateur radio overall. And, you know, even the response from the CEO of ARRL wrote that, you know, he did have a person who had the LGBTQ community involved there. He had recruited this person to be as part of the team. So, you know, I think we have a good diversity of people across the board. And I want to say, you know, people are always welcome, and I'm always willing to reach out and help whoever just learn about this fun and great hobby. And like I started to say, it's kind of ever evolving with digital communications and things that are going on and involving more internet stuff. You know, I don't want to rely completely on internet, but I do definitely want people to be able to, you know, have access to it and use it for things, you know, when needed. And, you know, without internet, I wouldn't be, you know, getting this podcast out and getting further, you know, YouTube and et cetera, you know, all the content out there created. And my Mr. Puppy here, I'm almost 6 years old, walked in saying hi here to me. Might hear the jingling of his collar in the background. So he's walking and saying, "Hi, Dad, what are you up to?" Anyway, it's Mr. Otto. So love and love him to death. He's a good dog. Can't complain. Well, that's kind of my 2 cents I'll throw in there this week, is, you know, talking about just inclusivity in amateur radio. And I think we do have it here. And I would kind of beg to differ with the author of the original letter that wrote to the CEO of ARRL there about that. So just kind of irked me the wrong way a little bit. And I wanted to see what your thoughts on this were as well. And if you feel like we are inclusive in our hobby and that we do try and promote this to, you know, all races, walks of life across the board. I know from teaching people and just talking to people in general, when I've been at, you know, parades and other city festivals trying to promote amateur radio, a National Weather Service Day, things like that, that, you know, I'm always willing to talk to anyone, everyone about it, and get small kids and, you know, get people involved of all ages. And, you know, it's a great thing to be a part of. So anyway, if you have any questions or comments, reach out to me at wzmet@thehamradioguy.com. I did appreciate the one guy who recently responded to one of my newsletters. I'd made a comment about being, you know, using AT&T, had their outage. And anyway, I wrote in my newsletter that, you know, you can't really use that to download your phone. You don't have GPS anymore when your phone's like that. And he goes, well, technically you still have GPS and you can still use it. But I guess what I didn't really clarify in that newsletter was that if you didn't pre-download your maps in some type of program, whether it be Google Maps or if you're using, you know, a host of other ones, I can't remember the one he gave me off the top of my head, but I also use things like Gaia GPS. And if you don't pre-download those maps, then your GPS is kind of unusable for you in terms of your phone if you don't have a map to really follow on that. So I do appreciate the comments. I do get them in, and people do reach out to me from time to time with different things, and continue to give those to me at wzmet@thehamradioguy.com. And, you know, I hope that you'll reach out with any comments you have about today's show. Well, looking for all things ham radio related, visit the Ham Radio Guy website over at the patreon.com/the Ham Radio Guy for informative content, product reviews, exciting blog posts. Join the conversation, stay up to date with the latest trends and news in the ham radio world. Connect with me over on Twitter @TheHamRadioGuy for even more updates and engaging interactions. And don't miss out on the fun and knowledge sharing. Subscribe to The Ham Radio Guy today. Again, I'll leave those posts in my newsletter. You can find me on Twitter, and hope that you'll join in on that newsletter as well. A lot of good information. And I share a lot of my affiliate links out on the newsletter. And all the places you can get discounts and deals, trying to help you save money on your end and help promote the show and help promote these small businesses such as ABR Industries. It's a woman-owned company. Now I've got a couple of new ones coming out as well, Ham Radio Prep and Alpha Antennas. So if you'd like to promote those small businesses, you know, that will help out locally and promote amateur radio as well, greatly appreciated that. And of course, my main sponsor of the website, which is powered by Dakota Lithium, is those Dakota Lithium batteries, and using them here in my ham shack to keep my emergency backup power operated as well in case of my regular power failure. Well, check out the AWR Hamfest schedule page for a local hamfest near you. On April 6th, the Raleigh Hamfest, hosting the AWR Roanoke Division Convention in Raleigh, North Carolina. April 12th to the 13th, the Green Country Hamfest 2024, hosting the AWRL Oklahoma State Convention in Claremore, Oklahoma. April 20th, Delmarva Amateur Radio and Electronics Expo, hosting the AWRL Delaware State Convention in Georgetown, Delaware. And May 11th, the Nebraska State Convention in Lincoln, Nebraska. If you enjoy the podcast, we'd appreciate it if you'd become a subscriber wherever you get your podcast. If you can rate and review the show, go out to Spotify or Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or you just go old school and tell friends and family and neighbors, hell, anybody you might want to hear this podcast. If you're on social media, be sure to follow me over on Twitter, over at patreon.com/theHamRadioGuy. You can also listen to the YouTube version of the podcast on the W0MET channel. I hope that you learned something as well this week that will help you in your ham radio operations. If you have questions or comments, again, please feel free to leave them on Twitter, the podcast platform, or email me at w0met@thehamradioguy.com. As always, this is your ham radio buddy in the chair and on the air, the Ham Radio Guy. I say 73 W0MET.